It's time for the Dr. Tanji Show.
Hey, you're on the air with Dr. Tanji. Talk to me.
As soon as I hear your voice, Dr. Tanji, my day is better.
Hey, Dr. Tanji. I took your advice and made some changes in my life. And you know what? I've been winning ever since. Thank you for your advice.
Now, here's Dr. Tanji.
Hey, welcome to the show that was founded on Kingdom Principles, a show that was truly designed with you in mind and designed to move you from where you are to where you want to be. And of course, it's a show that I really would not want to do without my wonderful co-host, Niles KJ. And today it's going to be a really special show because we've got a past guest that's been on the show, right, guys? Forgive my manners, please. How's everybody doing?
Hey, happy
hump day, man. So we've got a guy that's been on the show before, and he's back. And this is first time on the Dr. Tanji Show that we've had a past guest to come and do a principle. How about that? So I'm really excited because it's one of the principles that I am really going to be listening to astutely. It's passion over purpose. But before all of that greatness, we've got a show that will kind of touch on things that are going on and trending topics. And then at the bottom of the hour, we're going to have a roundtable discussion on what Curtis is going to be talking about now. So without further ado, I'll yield the floor to my guy, Curtis. Take it away, man.
Hey, man, we can't hear you. Hello?
Can you guys hear me now?
There it is.
Sorry about that. I was like, oh, I said, how's everybody doing? Okay, so, yeah, basically.
Oh, okay.
The principle is purpose over passion. And to further elaborate on that, it's basically over the course of, quarantine, a message that's been brought to me a lot is what is purpose? What is passion? And, passion is something that is wonderful for us as human beings and as God's creation, because, we have a fire in our hearts or in our stomach. We want everybody to see. Sometimes we just want it to ourselves. It's what we feel comfortable in. And purpose is what God has planned for your life. The message really that kept showing up is that purpose isn't, they work together, but they aren't necessarily hand in hand. And, sometimes, and I feel like in today's society, passion is put on this pedestal, that shines above your purpose. And that's when God, right before all this stuff was happening, I was really like going full throttle on my passions. And, God was kind of just like, all right, so where do I fit in? How is this going to glorify me? Why did I put you on this earth? Basically it's this sense of what God has planned for your life is completely different from the things that you desire to do on this world, because, this world is a trial and the real reality is heaven. And, that is where we're supposed to be called to be. And that's basically purpose over passion.
Good stuff. Ooh. Good stuff. Really, I've got to be open, honest, and sincere here with telling you, thank you so very much for being so transparent, because a lot of people using a platform like you have would not say, it was my desire before COVID and during COVID now, I believe that God is truly putting me on the trajectory of, hey, answer that proverbial question of why did I place you here? So for you to do that, Curtis, thank you so, so very much for being that honest and transparent. And for those giving an insight to other people who may have been thinking along those same lines before COVID, you know, it was what I want to do versus what God would have me to do. So my hat goes off to you for that, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
You know what? What's interesting about that topic, it's very essential today because it's like you're sacrificing yourself for a greater goal. You know, we all have dreams. We all have like aspirations we want to do in life. But at the end of the day, you know, Curtis said it best, like, are we pleasing God at the end of the day? You know, it's like, oh, I want to do X, Y, and Z. But at the end of the day, it's like, but did I tell you to do that? Is that what I called you to do? I'm not saying you won't do it. I'm just saying reorganize your priorities. You know, are you going to put work first over family, then me? Or is it going to be me, you know, work and family? Like what is your main goal? And when you do put God first, everything else falls in line. And we just have to remind ourselves to be in that perspective all the time.
Mr. X
in the building. Okay, so purpose, kind of like what you guys said, purpose is from God. It's that mission that keeps you busy and it keeps you working. It's like God's vision and direction for your life. When I think of purpose, it's above self. You know, it's using God's gift responsibly, which edifies God and services the people. When you think of passion, passion is that energy. Passion is that drive. Passion is that motor that keeps you going. It keeps you enthusiastic. It keeps you in the game. If we don't have passion, then, you know, we may not enjoy the process. And when you don't enjoy the process, you know, you may miss some steps or you may not be in it, you know, completely and fully. So, yeah, man, passion is that driving force, but they work, you know, together.
But you know what? Another thing, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Okay. I was just thinking as Nias was saying that, there have been times that on this road to passion and rediscovering, road to purpose and rediscovering what my purpose has been, sometimes I didn't have that drive. So I found myself making excuse after excuse after excuse as to why I couldn't get in purpose. And then when I did get purpose, there have been days when I've not been desirable. There have been days when I just didn't wake up enthusiastic about, hey, today you've got to live the life of what you're talking about. So it does go in hand, but how do we, and maybe this is just a question for someone else, but how do you get passion with purpose if you've lost passion, but you're still doing purpose?
I was gonna segue into that. Here's what I have to say. Athletes are a perfect example of that. Do you think athletes want to work out every day, you know, working on their craft? Working on your craft is hard. It's taxing. It gets in your head. You're doing it's insanity because you're doing an emotion over and over again expecting the same, a different result. So I would say this, it's the discipline that we need, not the passion. Because there's going to be times where you're not going to be passionate about doing something. Mm-hmm. But that discipline is going to hard set you into a position where it's like, okay, this is my routine. And at least I'm moving even when I don't feel like it. Because our emotions are going to change every single day, you know? So at least you have a purpose that is your goal. Like, okay, this is where I'm going for. And that's going to be your drive all the time. You're not going to be in the same spot you're in for years to come, but you know that my slow baby steps, my penguin waddle to the finish line, it's at least putting a dent into what I need to accomplish to reach my purpose.
Yeah. But I think in some instances that passion pushes the discipline because, you know, the discipline is there to serve the greater mission, to serve the greater purpose, but you have to have some kind of passion in order to even keep that discipline. You know what I'm saying? So I think in some instances it pushes. What'd you say?
What if there's no more passion?
I mean, there has to be some kind of passion. If you're staying on a road that at that that time is uncomfortable, there has to be some kind of passion. There has to be some kind of spark there, because you don't stay disciplined for no reason. You know what I'm saying? I get the greater goal and the greater purpose, but even behind that discipline, I think there's at least some kind of spark or some kind of passion, because people, on average, we don't like to do things that aren't enjoyable. You know, we're doing that for a reason. So it may not be described as passion, but there's something behind the discipline. I don't want to be disciplined for no reasons, you know, when it comes to certain things. So I think there's something more behind that discipline. You know, because discipline by itself isn't really all that fun at times, because you don't want to do it. But there's something behind that discipline that's pushing you. So, like, there's so many different working pieces. Like, you think about a car, you know, or an engine, there's so many different pieces within the engine, but they all serve the same purpose. You know what I'm saying? It's like this one piece is here. You don't even know that it's working, that it's doing this thing. But behind the scenes, it's pushing the transmission. So
you know, I'm sorry, Curtis. Go ahead. You wanted to.
Oh, no. I was just going to say that for me, these are all like what you guys are adding are amazing, by the way. I think this is why a relationship with God is so important.
Bingo. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. That's exactly where I was going.
Yeah. Yep.
Because right. And at the end of the day, it's like, you're right. Not every day you're going to want to work out. You're not going to always be in that mind state, in that flow state. But what God kind of does is like you said, he's that centerpiece, right? And you know, there are things that God wants us to stay away from and messages that he doesn't want us to fully consume because of, you know, because he already knows what comes after those things.
For sure.
And it's like, once you develop that relationship with God, it's like before it becomes, you know, all about discipline and rules and stuff that, like, you know, it's like what you said, like, I totally agree. I'm the type of person where it's like, if I don't understand why I'm being disciplined, I just like,
from a human level.
Right.
But then once you walk with God, you realize that you're not human and that he's omnipresent, he's ever present, and that he, you know, there's a reason behind everything. And that's why, like, I respect and love God so much, because it's like, it's that fatherly, you know, that parenting that kind of lets you walk on your own. Still keeping you within boundaries, but knowing like he's about to slip, I'm just gonna let him slip, you know, and then he's gonna come back and realize exactly what I said 2 years ago, right?
Absolutely. So,
yeah. You know what's interesting? Sorry.
Go ahead.
You know what's interesting? I was just thinking of all of us talking, and just, you know, diving into different perspectives, and I'm like, wow. What you just said is truly correct, because as we think about purpose is from God, but we're over here talking about passion and discipline or whatever else. And I'm like, wow, this is the epitome of your title, purpose over passion. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And look absolutely. You know what I'm saying? This is the epitome. Like, we got away from purpose, which is from God, and we're here focused on, you know, the human concepts. So yeah. Purpose over passion. Thank you, Curtis.
You know, Mr. X, everybody. Hey, you know, one of the things that we really did get away from is that relationship, not only God, but God in three persons, which is the Holy Spirit. He is the governor in the earth. It is he that moves at God's command to bring us, you know, to him. Without him in the earth, we're just like people that want to do whatever humanly possible we want to do. But we have to keep in mind that Holy Spirit, he's the man on the scene of the unseen.
Yeah.
How about that? Mm-hmm. And without him, I promise you, he's not just foreign. For my people that are listening, that are stout Christians, you know, I love you guys. I do. However, there's my caveat to that. He's not just for speaking in tongues. That's a whole other story. Mm-hmm.
That's a whole other story.
But I have a question. Whole other story. Yes, sir.
You know, you brought up like an interesting take. Like, it was like I'm coming from the perspective of Christians who are just like lukewarm in the middle, you know. So what do you guys have to say about those who are struggling to put themselves aside and just put God number one. They say, oh yeah, I love God. Don't like, I love God. I do this. But you can see in their actions every day, like every day you wake up, you're on your phone. You don't drop down to your knees. Not saying that's how you should be praying, but I'm just saying that's as an example. What can we do, you know, for those who are having a hard time making that switch, dying to themselves? Yeah. Romans 12, verse 1, you know. How do we get to that state?
Yeah. I think we can, of course, you know, give them the same old rundown, you know, when it comes to, you know, purpose, motivation, drive, or whatever else. But at the end of the day, I feel like when you're not 100% operating, knowing that God is number one, and he's the reason for everything, and without him, you know, it's hard to achieve the greater purpose that he has for your life. But I think in that, I think through experience, and I think through getting slapped upside the head, you know what I'm saying? I think through having difficulties and mishaps, you will kind of be forced into the direction of knowing and understanding that you need God. And without that, you will not get the desired results that you're looking for. So I think life and you know, just how things work will push you in that direction. Okay, you don't want to listen? You think you know what you're talking about? Okay, let me throw this at you. You don't want to listen? Okay, this is going to happen this week. And you realize you really don't have control over things that are bigger than yourself. You know, you don't have control over every aspect of life. Knowing that God has control over every aspect of life, I think that's when you just start to take a back seat and like, you know what? I might be special to me and special to, you know, the world, and I came from God and so on, but at the end of the day, God is the orchestrator.
Amen.
You know?
You have to say that, absolutely. I would like to piggyback off what Niles is saying, and you ask a question that I get asked a lot, maybe every other day, about a relationship or about a presence that is bigger than ourselves. I would liken that I start with a tabula rasa, and I tell the person that is lukewarm, hey, everything that you've ever desired, everything that you ever thought of, everything that you've ever done, that you're doing, or that you will do, has already been paid for a price, right? So don't be sin conscious in this thing called life. I want you to think about, you're already successful. You have everything that's needful for you. Now, with that picture in mind, I want you to kind of go back in time a little bit. Let's start at the beginning now that we see your end. In order for you to get to that place, and that's the ultimate place that you really want to go, there are a set of principles, there are a set of laws and commandments that have been written, where's my Bible, that have been written in this thing called the Constitution. Let's not think of this as a religious book, because if you're agnostic or you're kind of on the fence, you're not going to believe anything I'm saying anyway. So that's how I would start my session with someone who's kind of lukewarm or really want to know what's the real reason this man came called Jesus. I take them past salvation and I give them something that they can live with today, Wednesday, you see? And not just Sunday, because Sunday we're going to get it murky. Everything feels good on Sunday when things get opened again and we're able to go back into the building or what have you. But we still got to deal with Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. So that's what I do, KJ, to answer that question. Again, piggybacking on what Niles is saying, is that the ultimate thing is, if you get busted upside your head enough, you're going to call on somebody and you're going to understand that that tree is not going to work.
Exactly.
Or your money won't work in some instances.
That's true. I just thought of this. I don't know why it popped into my head, but as you guys were talking, and we're talking about allowing God to lead, I was thinking about a train, you know? And at the end of the train, you have a caboose, right? But then you have the driver, but like, what goes on in the caboose, you know? Like, that's where all the logistics, you know, go on. That's where, you know, all the equipment is, all of the different tools and everything. You're making sure that everything's running efficiently and so on, everything there and in place and doing your part to make sure that it's running correctly. But at the end of the day, there's somebody driving the train. So it's like you and I work in unison. Like, God is a driver and you're operating that caboose. And you're going through all the tools and the different equipment that he equipped you with to make sure that you are en route to get to that destination.
I love it. And with that, I'd like to add, hey, why don't you become interactive with us as well? You can by calling 323-203-0815. Again, that number, 323-203-0815. And please don't forget to check me out on Monday, 7-ish, Facebook Live. I'm waking up. And now, guys, I got this thing about waking up dancing every Monday morning. How about that? So if you catch me dancing a little bit, I'm doing it to let you know that, hey, you too can dance in any circumstance that you may find yourself in. And I do not want to forget our new sponsors for this month is none other than me and my Nana. It's a home care agency and professional babysitters and nannies located in Atlanta, Georgia. We've got two offices there and two more on the way in South Georgia and in Northeast Georgia. And we do all things elderly. So look us up. Give us all things nannies, babysitters, and senior care. That's me and my Nana. Thank you guys for your support. And I'm looking forward to, you guys sponsoring us a lot. How about that?
If you know, you know. All right, guys. Trending topics. How was you guys this weekend? If you guys haven't caught the Golden Globes this weekend, there was a lot of historical moments. There were a lot of African-American winners. Jamie Foxx won Best Animation. For Soul. Daniel Kaluuya won. Regina King. Also, Chadwick Boseman, the late Chadwick Boseman. I don't know if you guys saw his wife's video acceptance speech. I just felt for her in that moment. You know, just like having your husband's legacy, like right there on stage, you know, or on Zoom virtual hosting, you know, but like it was an incredible like evening just to honor all these actors, actresses, not only Black actors, but like also Anya Joy Taylor from Queen Gambit also won. So it was just an amazing nights just to highlight all of these performers and all of these directors, all of these producers in this night of Golden Globes. Oscars are coming up and also SAG Awards, so look out. On brighter news, COVID-19 vaccines are on the way. It looks like that it's beginning to quarantine. It's about to open up. Texas announced this past week that there were no more regulations, no more mandates for masks because the vaccine's on the way. The Biden administration said that vaccine doses could be available for all adult Americans by the end of May. So we may be looking at a summer of like maybe less restrictions than there is right now. Who knows? We're going to put in this. We're going to put a pin in this topic. We're going to bring that up for the latter half of the show, because we have an interesting take we want to bring to you guys, and you guys don't want to miss it. All right. Also, I want to give everybody, if you were born by a woman, raise your hand. No. Cool. All right. Okay. Raise your hand. I want to give a clap for all of the amazing women in our history, because this month is Women's History Month. All right. Women are an incredible force to be reckoned with on this earth. And we want to give you guys as much credit as you guys deserve, because you guys are amazing. You know, you are the mother. You carry us in your womb for so long. And also, you are literally the first woman we fall in love with. Because it's
an amazing sight to see. How cute is that?
hey, look, it's an amazing sight, because you guys are so impactful. We have a mom right here. We have a daughter right here. You know, we have a grandmother right here. You know, she is incredible, Dr. T. And I just want to highlight the founder of Women History Month, Molly Murphy McGregor. She was a former educator with a background in teaching social studies, English, and women's history. While teaching U.S. history at the high school level, she developed an interest in educating others about women's history. So that is an amazing sight of how she began to start on Women's History Month, 1985. That's when they began to recognize women and the history that they've had for a millennium, like even more than a millennium. I'm sorry. Yeah. So every Wednesday, I will be highlighting a specific woman who have impacted our history. And finally, for our trending topics, Jackson, Mississippi. We've heard about the intense winter storms that have swept through the south of the U.S. Jackson, Mississippi is going through a water crisis. Dr. T, I understand that you have close relations there. Absolutely. We just want to give our prayers out. And if you guys can donate money, water, any supplies that will help them during this crisis right now. You know, there's other parts in the South that are dealing with the same thing, but you know, I know Dr. T, this is your home.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's Jackson State.
Yeah, Jackson State.
Absolutely. And your family member.
How do you donate? Do you know, KJ? Or, like money and messing online some kind of way, right?
They were saying the Red Cross, but let me circle back through, because I love organizations like the Red Cross, we all do, but there are people sometimes that need it like right then and there, and I'm not downing or knocking the Red Cross, but there have been situations where they've been turned around. Yep. So let's Salvation find Army. Out.
You can donate to the Salvation Army clothing, any household items, furniture donations. All of those help. There's also the Salvation Army. That's the main one that I found right now. There's most likely others, but that is the main one I found. Everybody, you can either do your research or go to salvationarmy.com to find out more information about the crisis that's happening in Jackson, Mississippi. But Dr. T, you have a book that is out.
And yeah, I want to man. Knowledge that's in the book. You know, let me say this, because I've gotten a slew of text messages this morning about the book. Yes, we are inches away from the book being on exclusively for Amazon, but right now Kindle is offering the book on Amazon.com. You can find it there. But I want to make certain that you get a hard copy in your hand for those who are really serious about moving forward with 7 days. Just give me 7 days of your life. I swear to you, and I don't make promises, but you will see a tangible difference in your life. I've done it myself. I know these principles work. I'm not just here trying to sell a book. I swear to you, I'm not. But it is 7 days of journaling with Dr. Tanji. And we're going to do something really special for all of my VIPs, just not people that say you're a VIP, anyone that tuned in, anybody that, even the ones that have said snide remarks, you're a VIP too. So we're coming up with something, an evening where you'll get to be with me and talk with me, and we'll go through the journal, a couple of excerpts of the journal, and just make certain that you're on the right trajectory. And yeah, I'm excited about it. And I have a copy right here. Oh. Someone said, but it's really little. And I kept thinking, but let's see. The richest man in Babylon. It's really little, but this book, simultaneously, I swear to you, one of the books that changed my mind about money, and money is a tool. Again, we'll cover all that good stuff on how you view money and how you spend it and what value you place on it in the book, man. So cop a copy of the book and stay tuned, because we're going to have an evening of dialogue. Yeah?
For all your VIPs, for more information, coming soon.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's almost time for me to talk to Tanji yet again. The time is 7 a.m. ish, 7 ish on Facebook Live. And we're going to have an upload of a show that we did, I want to say about a year, maybe 2 years ago. It's going to be uploaded on YouTube. It comes out. This is part three of your faith walk. Walk of Faith. And this time we've got Alicia Tetti. Is that right, Tetti? She'll be, yep. She'll be the guest on the show. And again, thank you so very, very much, me and my Nana, for making certain that we, you know, get the information out and have an engaging conversation with people. Me and my Nana, located in Atlanta, Georgia.
Yeah. All right, guys, we're at the second half of the show. Remember when I told you to put a pin into the whole COVID quarantine situation? Just to give you a little background real quick, Curtis and I were having a conversation prior to the show, and he came up with a question, or his father did, and he just shared it with me. Okay, let's say COVID is over, quarantine's over, everything's gone, disappears. What's next? You know, have you been using your time wisely? So this segment, we're going to be diving in into life after quarantine. What's next? You know, have you been using your time wisely? You know, what have you been doing during this time? Are you magically going to change after lockdown? Are you? I see it's quiet.
Boy, Curtis.
I'm just saying it's a weighty topic. So if you guys are uncomfortable, I would advise you to continue to watch and enjoy the uncomfortability, because it will help you with your breakthrough in life. So let's have this dialogue. So guys, what's happening? You know, lockdown and everything. Let's say it's over in the next 10 seconds. What changes with you?
So about that conversation, the conversations that I've been having recently, you know, among some friends or whatever, it's just like this idea that, you know, oh, quarantine, like as soon as it's over, like everything's just about to be rainbows and we're all about to just be what we want to be and everything's just about to happen. It's like when I heard that Texas, you know, lifted a lot of their mandates for Corona, it kind of like shook me, like, whoa, like it felt kind of sudden. And like what you said, it put me in a place where it was like, what's next? Right. And for me, I put a lot of my energy towards my internal work, and my relationship with God. Now, you know, I guess a lot of, when it comes to more of the worldly things and, you know, more so like with passion, that's kind of been, you know, on the back burner. And, you know, my relationship, you know, I wanted to tend to that more. But it's like, looking at, there are people who have been doing stuff this whole entire quarantine, and they've been making it work. And, you know, some people even multiply their accounts and all this stuff, right? But it's like, you can't deny that during a time like this, like how important it is to do that internal work. And just because, you know, you are doing stuff, it's like, again, where is that work going to put you once everything is done in the long run? So, yeah, I just thought that was a really interesting thing, because it's almost like the idea of, like, if you haven't been treating yourself right, it's like, you know, that person who ends up going to jail and then they get out and it's like, okay, well, I've been in this, you know, in this space for so long. It's like, how am I supposed to revamp myself? What am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to continue? Am I supposed to, you know? So yeah.
Yeah.
The internal work for me is where it was highlighted.
Yep.
That's good. That's yep. really, really good.
You should always be working on yourself. You know, and I feel like when you're always working on yourself, things come into play a particular way. When you're working on yourself, you always have goals in mind and so on. But also, of course, when you're working on your purpose, once again, comes from God. Things just kind of always, you know, connect and they serve, you know, the mission, you know, the purpose. So I feel like if you did some work, you know, some introspection and all that good stuff, you know, during the quarantine. I feel like, you know, you should have, you know, tons of energy, you know, once things open up to really just rock and roll. But you should have been rocking and rolling throughout the quarantine. You know, this is just a continuation, and you're going to turn it up. You're going to turn it up as soon as they open the doors. So, yeah.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I love you, man. During the quarantine, you know, I got to piggyback off my guys. Honestly, it had been an introspective work that I've been working on, because you never can be in that place that you say, you know, I'm there and I don't need to work on that. That's a lie. I'm sorry, guys. If you've gotten to that place, mm-hmm. then that's called self-righteousness. Be careful with that. Ooh. But for all intents and purposes, I lost, you know, of course, I call it not a loss, but my dearly beloved son got promoted. So with that promotion, of course, he's not physically here with me or with us now. So I've learned to be a little bit more compassionate and not just say when someone loses a loved one, say, hey, you're in my thoughts and prayers. I've learned to, and I've been doing it, you know, a time, you know, I'd stop and there have been times I'd get a post and they kind of stopping and kind of making certain that when the music stops, for that person who's lost that loved one, that I'm still there, if that makes any sense. So that become like my assignment for that person. And in the business realm, you know, people say, well, you're not supposed to boast. I'm boasting and bragging in him. I kid you not, because before the pandemic started, like Miles said, you need to be busy anyway in purpose. One of the things that I love doing is going into the homes or having people go into the homes of others that serve them right there in their homes. So we've been able to hire nurses and hire CNAs, and we've gotten so busy at the expansion that there's a scripture that says, enlarge my territory and straighten out the cords of my tent. We've increased exponentially. And it is only as a testament, not of because we've been so good, but because he's been so good. And we've truly followed and did exactly what the state said we had to do and what have you. But our businesses have just been booming. And I am grateful to God. So I don't want people to say, well, you know, there's some good things happening to me. I better not share them because I'm supposed to be like everyone else, perhaps woeing or crying. No, if God has done some things for you and you know it's been him and you know it's not predicated on how good you've been, share your testimony. Don't you ever be ashamed to tell what God has done, because he'll show you off. He will.
You know what? You know, it's just like a lot has happened this year, and I don't want to like gloss over the fact there have been lives that have been lost. So I would want to honor those people. But at the end of the day, sure. Like, they're like put in perspective. It's like those at the end of the day, we all had time during quarantine. You know, I said this like I think like 5 months, 6 months ago. You know, if we get out of quarantine and you have nothing to show for like all this time, then it was just a waste. You know, yeah. I would even say this, no matter how small your accomplishment was, because it doesn't have to be something extravagant. It can just be something like, you know what? I'm not eating carbs anymore. Like, I'm like, okay, cool. 100%.
And that's a testament right there.
Those little steps help me chip away that mountain, you know? So I have another question for you guys. Like, how much or how little was lockdown affecting you guys from living where you're living living out your purpose, living out your dream?
Yeah,
because we see it right now. Look, with the Golden Globes, they did it all virtually. Pepperdine had their first virtual plays, and other plays are now virtual plays. You know,
that's true.
Adjusting to the times. So
yeah,
how is it affecting you?
I feel like, I mean, of course, you know, it's already done now, but I think being inside as much as we were should have pushed us to really self-evaluate and to tussle with those things that are going on internally. Because, you know, all of us have, you know, those things that we don't speak of, those things that, you know, are kind of just sitting in our soul. So, you know, we should always self-evaluate. But I do feel like if we did, you know, take advantage of that self-evaluation time, you know, we made some kind of progress. And here's the thing. What if it's internal progress? Like, maybe you were in a certain place, you know, prior to the pandemic, and you just had a lot of hurt and a lot of just baggage and things that were weighing you down internally. And throughout this quarantine, you work some of those things out. You unpack some of the baggage, you know, because sometimes we look at progress as like, oh, I started a business, you know, during the quarantine, or I learned how to play basketball or to my hobby. What if you cleaned up some of that garbage inside your soul? Maybe we can't see that, but you know that it's there. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like self-evaluation and that introspection is always important. But there's no self-evaluation when you can't be honest with yourself. Like, I feel like nowadays we love being sold a dream and we love being told what makes us feel good, you know? But will it actually, you know, push you to a certain point? You know, I understand like prosperity, you know, preaching and saying things that make you feel nice and so on. But, you know, get to a point where you hear those things, but it's pushing you and forcing you to change. Because sometimes we hear that and you're like, oh, I'm okay where I'm at or whatever. If I continue on this way, I'm going to get X, Y, and Z. There has to be some kind of spiritual change when it comes to certain things, especially if you're looking to, you know, reach another, you know, a higher place within yourself and a higher place, you know, in God. So I think that introspection always needs to be there in that self-evaluation, because when you really self-evaluate, you should be real and honest with yourself.
100%.
I love that. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, to add on, that was great. You know, at least, and I feel like a lot of people can probably testify. Some people, you know, may find it somewhat easy to, you know, maneuver through the pandemic. For me, I'm an in-person type of person. Like, I, this whole virtual, yeah, I don't know. Like, it's you know, it'll get the job done, but it's not the same. It's not the same impact.
Yeah,
and you know, sure. Ask yourself, like, okay, well, now I can't see my friends. Now I can't do these other things. Now I can't go to parties. It made me look introspectively on everything that, you know, I wanted to do. And it's like, you know, are these friends, you know, good for me? You know, obviously for all your friends, but like, how much time am I spending with that person? What type of party would I want to go to? And what, you know, what would happen? You know, all these thoughts. And then, you know, you kind of just sit and realize that like everything you really need is here. It's not comfortable at first, and it's, you know, it's new, but you know, like what Niall said, it's like once you finally sit down and soak in that introspection is when it becomes a different, you know, pandemic for you personally. But yeah.
I got
you. Real quick, I have another question I want to propose.
Okay.
No, go ahead.
Answer that? Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, go ahead, answer
affecting
it.
Me.
Yeah.
You know, I always say that I don't want to tell my age, right? But I'm always telling my age. For me, guys, home was always where I'd like to be anyway. Not being ugly when I say this. It's just, it didn't affect me not being able to go out. Of course, you know, Stacy and I, my husband, love going to movies on Tuesday. We love going to the beach and have a picnic on Monday. So that was kind of our thing. So, of course, we can't do that. But I'm dancing again. I kid you not. I've got a pair of skates. I'm doing stuff that I used to do that brought me so much contentment. So I'm not celebrating the COVID. I'm not, you know, medically, I know what this means. I know that those proteins on that particular virus is going to just wreak havoc in your body once it gets in there. But mentally and emotionally, physically, I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm checking on people because that's what I do, but I've just, it just gave me a new awareness to get back to skating, get back to dancing, get back to doing those things that I used to do once upon a time. Yeah. So that's, you know, I'm sorry if I, you know, didn't answer correctly, but, you know, for those who are listening, and if you are older, you're kind of like a homebody anyway, just make sure, it makes you look inward, but it didn't affect me as much as.
I'm where you at too. I'm a homebody too, you know, and so it didn't feel any different. You know, there was a, you know, there were a lot of like, there was a mental battle of like, okay. Of course, you're in a confined space. You want the freedom to go out, but you don't want to be confined in the space 100%. You know, I have one more question before we close, because I think this is super important for our listeners to understand. If you can just give us a quick answer for this. When quarantine is over, all right, when lockdown is over, what is one thing you're taking away? What is one thing you accomplished and you're taking away?
That's good.
Quarantine is over.
I
feel like what I've learned through the quarantine and what I'm enforcing now is producing your own work, and serving the people in your work and serving God in your work.
Okay,
so that's what I'm working on now. So that's what, you know, I came out of the quarantine.
Absolutely.
Curtis? For me, I'm gonna have to say, how tangible the presence of God is, and you know, how like once you get his attention, how direct he really can be. And I guess overall, like I'm gonna say discipline. Discipline, you know, especially as like young guys, it's like, It's if you don't have somebody going over your shoulder disciplining you, it's like, it's not really, you know, it's kind of rare that it's innate for that person. So really kind of like sitting down and creating a list of, you know, my things that I have to do right in the morning, things that, you know, before I go to bed. And I would say, you know, a little journaling here and there. But discipline is so important, because it gives you consistent results. And it doesn't give you consistent feeling, but, you know, like you said, like you're not going to wake up every morning wanting to do the same thing, but it will give you consistent results and will always keep you moving in a certain place. So, yeah.
That's good. And you, KJ? What's one thing that you're taking away from this?
For me, I discovered a lot about myself in terms of like, I can make something from nothing, you know, a lot of things from nothing, you know. It's like when I'm pushed back into a corner, like when you push a sheep in the corner, you know, if you begin to realize, oh, he wasn't a sheep all along, you know, he can do things, you know. So that's one thing that I'm taking away.
I love that.
My power back.
I love that. Now I'll talk about that power. And before we close, I could say one thing that I'm taking away from this, or a couple of things. One is, when you say I'm sorry and you really, really do mean it, make certain that that other person knows, okay, that they have been forgiven. And because that happened, and I'll share that story. 21 years in the making, and it's a really good story. And then two, please, please, please tell everybody that means something to you how much you love them. Tell them how much you love them. Just don't go to bed angry with your mama or your daddy, or just make sure that they know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you love them. Seriously. And guys, that's our show. Curtis, you and purpose and passion over purpose. Purpose over passion. You struck a chord, man, that we can definitely take those nuggets and live on forever and ever and ever. Thank you so very much for joining us. This is not the last time, right? You're coming, right?
Oh, no,
right?
no.
Oh, you heard him, everybody. So thank you, Ronan. Thank you, LAT. Talk Radio. Thank you, Niles and KJ, for making this another smash hit. Guys, I do not want to do it without you. I love you to the moon and the stars. I'm your girl, Dr. Tanji, and join us again for 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, Dr. Tanji Show, right here, LA Talk Radio, and Monday, 7-ish. I'll be on there dancing, man, and telling you that you can get through anything in life. I promise you, you can. Until next time. See you soon. Bye.